Hey there, birth nerd. You're listening to the Birth Worker Podcast. My name is Kylie Banks, and I am totally obsessed with birth and equally obsessed with business. And this is the show where I help women turn their passion for birth into a sustainable, profitable, and most importantly, impactful career. All right, let's get into it. Welcome back to the Birth Worker Podcast. We are coming back to the podcast today after an amazing and much needed break. Behind the scenes, we are working on some huge projects, like bigger projects than I've ever done in the history of my business. I've had a business for about 5 years now. We've been rocking and rolling with the team for about 2 years now. So it's been like a true company for about 2 years. And holy moly, we are working on some huge things. So we had to put podcasting aside for a little bit to give us time to work on those other projects that are going to be projects that take our business to the next level over the next several years. Super, super excited for them to start unfolding. And we're going to roll them out beginning of October. We're going to start to roll out a lot of these changes. So, of course, as always, updating our programs, making amazing changes to our programs, but we're also going to be creating a lot more free resources for you guys that don't have to do with this podcast. Yes, we have this podcast and this podcast is amazing, but we're going to make some more free trainings, free masterclasses for you, for our podcast listener, so you can actually go a little bit deeper. So be on the lookout. If you're listening to this in real time, be on the lookout for the next couple of weeks. You'll definitely, most definitely hear about all the things that we've been working on. But I wanted to jump back in today to the podcast for an amazing episode to celebrate the very beginning of National Hispanic Heritage Month, which is super exciting. I actually invited one of my past students. Her name is Hosanna. I invited her onto the podcast today because she is building a doula business that's rooted in culture. That's rooted in culture. And I think this is an amazing conversation. I think a lot of doulas around the world can relate to this. And we're going to see how Hosanna is actually bringing her culture into her birth work. Super excited for this. I want you to know that Hosanna is just starting her doula business, but she has already made some amazing strides. So even though she is really just getting rocking and rolling this year within the last several months, she is already attending births. She is already growing her reach and her community online. And she's going to tell us all the things that she's doing to bring in that culture wherever she can. And some of the tips that she gives are almost so easy, but you would just like not think about it. And that's one of the reasons I love this episode, is because it's not just status quo, surface level conversation. She actually takes us a little bit deeper and she shares just the importance of bringing culture into birth work. So without further ado, this is the interview I did with Hosanna. Again, she's one of our Birth Worker Academy students. She is fantastic. If you want to learn more about Birth Worker Academy, you can always DM her on Instagram and ask her about her experience. I will put her link in the show notes. And we didn't get into it much here, and I won't get into it much because it's really not my story to share. But I do just want to say that Hosanna is one of my, I would say one of my star students. She just went above and beyond. She gave it her everything when it came to, you know, doing what I asked her to do through Birth Worker Academy, whether it's personal work, self-work, you know, dealing with her own triggers, but then also growing her business. And I can very clearly remember the day that she messaged me and told me that she had signed her first few clients. And not only had she paid off Birth Worker Academy, but she was making more money than she's ever made in her life. And just she said, thank you for the life-changing program, and just essentially like how our program helped write her legacy, because not only did she change her life, but she changed her kids' lives through becoming a doula inside Birth Worker Academy. So it's like, I don't know. I'm like smiling so big. There's tears in my eyes. I'm just such a fan. It's such an amazing success story. And I'm going to put all the links if you want to reach out to Hosanna or learn more about Birth Worker Academy. I'm going to put all those links in the show notes. I really hope you enjoy this episode. And without further ado, again, here is Hosanna.
All right. My name is Hosanna Knight. My business is Leche de Oro, which means liquid gold. In English. And I just, I just felt like it was so on brand, and I really wanted my name to be in Spanish because so much of my focus is going to be on the Spanish community. I started my business when I was, well, actually, I didn't even start my business. I got interested when I was pregnant with my daughter because I wanted to learn all the things about pregnancy, similar to how so many doulas get passionate about this work. And I ended up with a very traumatic birth experience. I wanted to find a glimmer of hope through it. And my second birth was really redeeming for me. And that's where I thought after my traumatic birth, I was like, I can't do this. This was horrid. I lived this and I don't know how I want support. How can I support somebody else in this? And I kind of just put doula on the back burner. And then I had my second birth, which was incredible. And I was like, yeah, I could totally do this. Cause now I went from really crappy to a really redeeming birth. I feel like I'm confident enough to know how to help other women navigate that season. And I really, really wanted to focus, not predominantly, but like a large portion of my business, I wanted to focus on my community, the Hispanic community, Latinas in particular, native Spanish speakers who don't feel comfortable speaking to providers in English. And also it's just something so powerful about speaking in your mother tongue during a transformative experience. Because birth, you're becoming a mother in that season. And I don't want you to feel like, I don't want my clients to feel like there's a disconnect because their heart and soul is in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want them to lose that when they start their journey into motherhood. And I also really focus on lower income families. So as a lower income mother myself for most of my life, it's hard, but I don't think finances should be the way, like the reason you don't get the birth that you want. So I'm open to like all sliding scales and payment plans. And I do my pricing in a way so I can afford to do that. Thank you, Kylie, for teaching me. a portion of every client who pays full price, a portion of what they're paying me goes into a fund for other mothers so that I can take 1 to 2 pro bono moms a year. I currently have my 2 pro bonos right now, and it is like completely filling my heart.
I love it. I love it. And that number is just going to grow and grow as your business grows, of course, right? It's when you even start incorporating the virtual support or online courses or whatever, that ability to give pro bono, full scholarship, half scholarship just like goes through the roof. So I'm so excited to sit back here and cheer you on and like watch that just completely grow. Because it's going to make a big difference in your literal community, like in the community that you are actually living in right now. It makes an actual difference.
And I live in Georgia, which most people wouldn't expect to have a large Latino population, but we're in like the top 5 states of Latinos in America. So of course we know New York and LA, and, you know, California, all of Texas, but we're up there too, and there's a huge need for Spanish-speaking doulas in our community.
Did you know that you always wanted to bring culture into your doula business, or did that like slowly grow over time?
I think I knew from the beginning. And I think that's also started when I was kind of wrestling with my own, like I'm also part white, but I look white. And I've always wrestled with like, can I still incorporate my culture, because I don't look it. People speak to me and they're like, oh, but why do you speak Spanish? And I wrestled with that for a while. So I'm like, am I able to actually integrate my culture and feel confident and not like the imposter syndrome? And I think once I centered myself and I really owned my identity, I'm very proud to be Nicaraguan. My mother was born and raised in Nicaragua. She got here on political asylum. Like you would love her. She could have a whole podcast just on her story. Like she was part of the war. She literally like the things, I don't know if I can speak how much she was part of the war, but like she escaped prison. She is the strongest, fiercest woman I've ever met in my life. And I think having her as my backbone is how I've kind of harnessed my identity. And that's why I wanted to do this, especially like, you know, seeing her learn English and seeing her assimilate. Birth is not a time to assimilate. Birth is a time for you to stay true to who you are. And once I started learning more about, wow, I didn't realize how much of my culture was in birth work, like the history of the rebozo. I mean, so many people use it. And do you know the history of it? Do you know the purpose, how it's originally from Mexican culture? And there's so much sanctity and I don't know the word, but like it's viewed as something that you're trained to do versus I feel like it's so commonly used in birth work by non-Latinos. So I just want to encourage anyone, if you're going to use a rebozo in your practice, you have to learn the history from, I would even take it a step further, the person you're getting trained from needs to be Hispanic. Your money needs to be paying them to use their culture in your practice. Mm-hmm. And I know lots of people differ on it. There's a lot of like, and not turmoil, but a lot of like tension in our community. Cause I know a lot of people that are like, no, if you're not white, you can't use it at all. I operate more like if you're educated and you're paying an actual Hispanic lady who made this rebozo for it to use in your practice, are you paying someone who is a Latina to train you in it? Then it's going back to our community. It's going back to us. So that's I'm okay with. But if you're, you know, learning from a white woman on YouTube, I would strongly discourage you not to.
I love that. At the end, you know, maybe after we wrap up, I'll have you send me a list of just people that you recommend that I can put that in the show notes for anyone who's interested in learning more from someone who is actually from that culture, rather than just going to YouTube and finding, some random white lady who learned on YouTube herself.
There's a lot of them.
We keep talking about incorporating culture into our doula business and our doula practice. Mm-hmm. What does that actually look like? Like, what are some things that we can actually do, or you actually did, or someone can do if they want to incorporate their culture into their business? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. So I think predominantly it's the language. So like I'm in the process of translating my entire website into Spanish so that I have two interfaces. Because I don't, and all of my forms on everything, I always, the main thing I ask is always, you know, what language are you most comfortable in so that I can operate and do, you know, business with them accordingly. But having resources in Spanish. So all of the things that I have for my English speakers, like I have workbooks for them. So we do birth planning together, postpartum, breastfeeding, newborn care, all of that is in like a really beautiful, tightly wound little book. All of that needs to be available in both languages. And then that's kind of like a logistic thing. As far as like actual culture that's outside of language, it's the foods, it's the oils, it's the way in which I conduct my consults even. I mean, it's little things like all the foods that I'll bring for a postpartum. They're like caldo de pollo, which is like a chicken soup. Or I'll make pupusas or arepas or like something that's of my wheelhouse that I just love. And there's so many really nourishing foods in our culture. We're more than just tacos, you know? So like all of the soups we do, they're very healing. They have a lot of like garlic and ginger, which is really good for your postpartum healing. Even down to like the bone broth, things like that. Language, food. I'm missing one more.
I love that.
Oh yeah. The way that I conduct, just the way that we talk. I don't know. I just feel like Latinas, we're very personable. We're really, we connect on a level that's just really, I feel like I'm talking in circles, but like, it's just different. It's so different. We talk about all the different things and we're talkers in general. And I think just like in my sessions that I've had so far, I just want to be like really intentional with getting to know the person in front of me on a deeper level. So it's not very topical I'll talk more about like their past trauma. I even ask a lot of questions about their upbringing, about their life. Like, I really want to get to know you. I want to know who is your support system. I want to have all their names memorized. I have a spreadsheet of all their like family members so that I can remember it. So when I go back, I'm like, well, how's your sister doing? So I think that's important, like being intertwined not only with the mother, but also with the rest of the branches of her family, because that's who's going to be supporting her after I'm gone.
I love it. I love how you're incorporating it literally to every single piece of the package of what you offer, of who you are. It's like the golden thread through every little thing, which I absolutely love. I'm curious if you've supported someone who maybe had a previous birth experience and kind of what the difference might have been for her just going through the system kind of without that doula who's incorporating the culture, the doula who's maybe only speaking English, or without having that like person who can jump back and forth between Spanish and English. I'm wondering like what big of a difference that can create for someone through the birth process to really have someone who's there in your corner in your native tongue, etc.
Yeah, I have yet to have a Spanish-speaking client. And yeah, I just think I'm booked for like 7 births, and all of them are English speakers right now. Okay. But I'm also really new to the space. There are not many of us. Yes. In my community in general, there are now 4. Then a friend of mine, her doula was also from your program, loved it and was like, I want to become a doula. So she just started. So there's only 4 of us, honestly, within all of Atlanta that I know of that are Latina, that speak Spanish, that incorporate our culture into everything. I'll have to come back and tell you, but I just launched a community group for Latinas in my area. Fantastic. And we're doing like regular meetups and get togethers and play dates, and everything is solely in Spanish. And it's been so life-giving. Amazing. I feel like that's kind of going to be my funnel for when I do get more Spanish speaking clients. This is going to be their postpartum support group.
Yep.
So we're kind of already creating that community. And until I made that group, we already have over 300 members.
Oh my gosh.
There were so many women reaching out to me. They're like, I didn't know there were other Latinas here. I just got here from Peru and I'm so happy I found someone that we could talk to. It's really isolating too, if you're a recent immigrant.
Yeah.
To find that connection, because you do, it's very different.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but I lived abroad in Israel for several years when I was in my early 20s. And I often think back to that experience and what it would have been like if I had started a family over there, with the speaking to the nurses in something that's not my mother tongue, and same with the foods, like, you know, even if I had like my mother-in-law at the time, like bringing me all these like Israeli foods or Middle Eastern foods, it's like, it's very different than like my comfort food, even though it's delicious. Yeah. And even though I understand the language, you know, not enough to advocate for myself, like it's not my mother tongue. And so I just put myself in my shoes, and it's just, I know firsthand just how like life-changing that could be. So, the fact that not only you, but a couple other people in your area are making this almost like the foundation of the business, the work that you do, the foundation of the birth work that you do, is fantastic. I'm like the biggest fan. I want to mention something, because I have a couple other students who Spanish is their native language. And to be honest, or actually it could be any language, like Spanish, Arabic. We have lots of different students, but they feel the pressure to create all of their content specifically in English. The website's in English, the Instagram posts in English. So I'm just curious, did you also feel that pressure, and what kind of sparked that interest to move beyond that and to start creating things in Spanish also?
Yeah, I still feel the pressure. I think I've only done like 2 posts in Spanish and they got no love. But when I do it in English, like I'm getting more followers. And it's really hard because I have to stay true to my ethos and like what I'm about. And it might just take a little bit longer for the right people to find you. But it also feels like, oh, well, you know, a lot of Spanish speak, like a lot of Latinas, they do speak some English. So maybe I'll just get them all with doing it in English. But I feel like that's, there's still a disconnect because it doesn't, and the things don't translate the same way. But the pressure is there to feel the assimilation too. If you're native from another country, you want to assimilate. And then, so like I'm first gen, I was born here. So I don't know if I feel the pressure as much to assimilate because I do speak both language fluently, but I know like my visibility is not to the extent as it is in English as it is in Spanish. So for a lot of new ones, it's probably like, oh, well, I'll switch over once I have a following, or I'll switch over once I'm, you know, getting some business, when I'm trying to restructure mine. So everything I think is going to be in both.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard enough running a business in one language and creating content in one language. It's a beast, you know, being able to stay on top of content creation alone. Mm-hmm. And so to think that you would have to do it in 2 languages, is, you know, it's hard, especially since there's not just a like direct translation. It's like the whole vibe is a little different. Like the whole post is reworked, in the new language. I love the idea of starting with the website. A lot of people ask, like, how would you even do that? Do I need like 2 completely separate websites? But it's as simple as translating every page or just like recreating the page. It's not just translating, like we said. But even at the top, like having, you know, in English and Spanish, like at the top, and they can just toggle between the two. Really super easy. And especially with website, it's you create it once and you're done for the most part. So exactly. I would really encourage anybody who's kind of juggling the same thoughts that you're having of like, how do I actually support the people I want to support? But also, how do I show up on Google? And how do I like get the new followers? How do I get myself out there? Start with the website. And once that's done, I think you'll feel like you climbed a mountain. And then it'll give you that energy and that inspiration to then go do it a little bit on social media also.
And depending on like how robust your website is, a lot of that will be probably what you're posting about. You're taking snippets from there. It's already translated. At least that's what I'm doing right now.
Do you have any desire to create a podcast?
I do. One of my, I'll give her a little shout out, Lily. She's another Latina here. She's from Mexico. She trained in Chile as well. And she's phenomenal. I've connected a lot with her on keeping our culture sacred in our work. And we're trying to do a podcast. So she's doing them on Instagram Live to share only Latina birth stories. And so eventually I think we're going to do something together that's going to be like more, you know, like a cafecito, like we're just going to talk and have coffee and do all things motherhood. But again, in Spanish. So I want the entire podcast, I think, to be in Spanish. Yeah. Just because as a consumer myself, I haven't found one.
Yeah.
Like I would love to go listen to birth stories or like have a version of Dr. Stu podcast. Yeah. Like I would love Birthing Instincts in Spanish.
Yes. Man, so many people would benefit from that. That would be phenomenal. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. I think that's what I'm putting myself in, let's say like a first generation or just an immigrant shoes or just someone who English is their second language. And that would be just so nice. Like not only to hear the stories, but hear them in my mother tongue, but also it's like birth stories in America in Spanish, because in the United States in Spanish rather, because it's different. Yeah. It's completely different dealing with that.
Yeah. And even like I know a lot of some other doulas, like they also shared that if you are birthing in a hospital and you don't speak very good English, but it's a heat of the moment situation. You have to wait for a translator, but birth can't always wait. And that was really weighing heavy on my heart because I'm like, what if that was my mom? What if she was pushed into other like my mom had almost all of us at home. I'm one of six. My mom was also a doula before. So it's kind of like a generational thing at this point. I can't even imagine like having things done to my body and not understand what's happening because a translator wasn't available at the moment.
That's it. So, yeah, I think if you're lucky, people wait for the translator. Like that's if you're lucky. I think it's things are done to you. And, birth can be like a really scary thing in the States, like navigating the system. And that's for a white person who speaks English. Now let's add on someone from a different culture, someone who doesn't speak English perfectly. Let's dial that up a few notches. Being a doula and attending births, I just watch how fast moms have to make decisions and how even sometimes like no one's even asking the mom what she wants. And then I just, sprinkle in the language, sprinkle in some racism. And it is just, I can't even imagine what that is like for that person. So definitely a need. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy you're stepping into this. I want to know a little bit, and I don't know if this is stepping into something that's too controversial, but I want to know a little bit about incorporating your culture into your doula business. I guess I want to know, I have a feeling and I sense that there are doulas from all sorts of cultures that feel like they have to walk on eggshells because they're nervous to incorporate their culture into their business because they might not be blank enough. They might not be, they might not be first generation or second generation, but maybe their like great, great grandma came from this place. And so they want to almost like adapt and adopt that culture. Is there ever like a line, or is it like, if you see yourself as this culture and if you've embraced this culture in your own life, like go for it, like bring it into your birth work. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I love this question. As someone who has never felt Latina enough, and I'm first gen, I'm not fresh off from Nicaragua, but I watched my mom become a citizen and my grandma and all my family. And for me to still wrestle with my own identity, I can't even imagine being a granddaughter or like my daughter, how she'll feel and how she'll embrace her. It's called like Latinidad, like Latin identity. And I think like, if you are in any shape or form, have any Hispanic blood in you, you're Hispanic, you're Latina, and you can own that. You can embrace that because who's to say you are not enough? What authority do they have on your life to say that? None. Like, they don't have any authority. This is your life. This is your heritage. These are your ancestors. Mm-hmm. They deserve to be honored, no matter how far down the line that they are. And I think then you have to do the work. So you can't, half-ass it and say, oh, like, I'm just going to make enchiladas and do this. Like, no, if you're going to honor your culture, you have to do it. You have to educate yourself, speak to other Latinas, go to other birth workers, find ways like to make it feel like it's yours, to where you can own it, whether that's through the language, learning the language if you don't speak it, nourishing foods or any type of foods that you want that you identify with that are comforting to you. How your culture specifically handles birth. So I actually would love to go back to Nicaragua. I haven't been back in like 8 years now because they had a civil war. I couldn't go back for a while. But my grandma and all my family is still there. I would love to go back and spend like a month learning from a midwife there so that I can even bring more of it into my practice. If you have the ability to do that, go. I don't think how far removed should matter. I think it's a heart, and no one can judge your heart but you.
Oh, I love it. That rant you just went on right there, like, gave me chills, because it's the same for birth work, but it's the same for giving birth also. Like, if you want this kind of birth experience, you got to walk the walk. You got to embrace it. You got to do the stuff. You can't just like half-ass it. You can't just bring the enchiladas, yeah. right? You can't just like say no to the Pitocin once and like think everything's going to fall into place. It's like, you got to walk the walk. You got to talk the talk. You got to do it all. You got to show up. You got to show up for yourself, because who's to tell you you're not, right? Who's to tell you you're not X enough to bring your culture into your work? And who's to tell you that you need to sit down and birth on your back and shut up and accept interventions, etc. So I really love this conversation. I think a lot can be related back to birth, and just it shows just how birth is way beyond the actual like act of giving birth, and it goes on. Mm-hmm. You know, your birth experience starts like the day that your grandma was born, and it like goes on like for eternity, I swear.
It's crazy.
Hosanna, if someone's listening to this and is like, I need to pick her brain, whether it's about becoming a doula or going through Birthworker Academy or bringing your culture into your birth work, where can they reach out to you?
Many different ways. So I have my website, which is just lechedeoro.com. I'm also on Instagram as leche.de.oro. So it's just a period in between each word. And so you can go into my DMs. We can chat. I've actually met so many wonderful people that way. Even actually connecting on our Latina-ness. I want to give her a little moment, because if you are a doula, this is the one item you have to have in your doula bag. It's the birth sling. Have you heard of that?
I have. Yeah. I've never used one myself, and I don't have one, but they're pretty amazing.
They are incredible. I've been bringing them to every prenatal and every birth, and she's Latina also, but it's also the same situation where she's half. And we had this beautiful conversation about how can we own our culture? But yeah. That's my absolute favorite thing for births, because you can get into so many great movements and you have the ability to still be supported. So yeah, definitely. It's just the birth sling, but coolest device to labor in. And it goes back to like traditional roots too.
Yeah.
To like, you know, ancient practices of laboring. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. Do you have any desire to educate birth workers in any capacity?
Yes. I just want to get a little bit more established.
Yeah.
I have big dreams. I feel like that's why I love all of your content, because it's like, cool, Kylie and I are very similar. But it's just going to be a slow process. So like right now I'm about to start planning a birth expo, like a birth fair almost. Wow. Again, I want it in Spanish, and I want it to target all of the Latinas like in Georgia to come get free resources and meet providers who can actually support them in Spanish. So that's going to be a work in progress for next spring. But I would love to be able to eventually educate other birth workers on how to harness their Latinidad and use it and be proud of that part of themselves, because I think it is so important. I think you'll serve people better knowing all the depths of yourself. Mm. So no matter how much you have inside of you, it can be other cultures too, but just knowing who your ancestors are, what they fought for, how did they come to this country in general? Because all of us are immigrants, mm-hmm. unless you're, you know, Native American, but for the most part, a lot of us came here somehow. I love like trace it back, like find what feels true to you and implement that to connect with other people and build your own community off of those similarities.
Oh my gosh. And what better time to do that than like when you're about to bring new, you're helping new souls be born into this world, or if you're a mom about to bring, you know, new life, a new generation to your family, knowing where you came from. Oh my gosh. That could potentially be the title of this episode, you know, knowing where you came from.
Ooh, I love that. Knowing where you came from. Yeah.
And incorporating that into the work that you do, because it is so important. There is such a disconnect today from where we've come from, where our food comes from, where how our house actually got here. And honestly, when you can like respect that and tune into that, it is really cool. And it's a really cool mindset hack for birth too, because it helps you zoom out and stop like thinking everything is so like specific, like only this moment in time is happening right now. Whether that's like the pain that you're experiencing during birth, or maybe a traumatic experience that's happening around you or to you, it's like, can we zoom out? And I think starting with everything that you've said today is a really great place to start, especially for birth workers, understanding where you came from and incorporating that into the work that you do. Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. It was episode 92. And again, I was interviewing Hosanna. All of her links are going to be in the show notes if you want to reach out to her, tell her you love her, ask her about her journey through Birthworker Academy and the business that she's been able to build. And hey, again, we're working on some huge things behind the scenes. And one of the things is updating Birthworker Academy. So I can't share all of the details yet, but we're going to be adding some really amazing bonuses. We're going to be changing the community aspect, making the community aspect even better. Maybe I'll even say that we are doubling the amount of coaching calls that you're getting when you join the Birthworker Academy. And actually, we're going to be quadrupling it. So if you can look behind, you know, read between the lines a little bit, we're going to be quadrupling the amount of coaching calls you get when you join Birthworker Academy, which is our comprehensive doula training program. This does not go live for a couple weeks, but if you want to be first to know, just pop over to my Instagram DMs. So shoot me a DM at Birthworker Podcast on Instagram. Let me know that you're interested in the Academy, you've been thinking about it, and you want to be one of the first to jump in to the new and improved program when it is ready. I would love to have a conversation with you. I would love for you to join the over 320 students that we've had in the last 18 months inside Birthworker Academy. And I would love for you to have a success story like Hosanna's. And again, she didn't get much into the kind of financial success that she's creating for her family and the legacy she's building, but I promise you it is there. And someone else actually just DM'd me this morning, one of my favorite amazing students from New Zealand. She's originally from Lebanon, and so she's gonna know I'm talking about her. But she DM'd me this morning. She was in the Academy, our doula program, and she said, "Kylie, I just attended a doula business summit, and the entire time I was just thinking, oh my gosh, this is so basic. I learned so much more from Kylie." And then she went on to tell me that she is fully booked from, I think it was January through May next year, completely fully booked. And she just did her doula training. She finished her doula training less than 6 months ago, and she's already completely booked until May of next year. So amazing. Love getting those DMs. So if you want that to be your story too, or if you just want to chat about how our business, birthworker.com, can help you on your journey to becoming the go-to expert in your community and worldwide, shoot me a DM. Let's have a conversation. And I cannot wait to meet you and coach you inside our programs.